Let's take our Bible this evening, if you would, turn to the book of Proverbs. While you're turning there, I want to give you a little information. I talked to Pastor, and he told me that I could have all of his time that he saved up so far this year by letting you out early. He told me just use it all. He didn't need it. He wasn't going to, he's trying to save his voice in the weeks to come, so just go ahead and don't let that amount get too high. Just go ahead and use it up. So for those of you that thought you were getting out early, that's just a little bit of information for you tonight. Also, Brother Fanera was laughing about the fact that there are no more tickets left for the Pirates Life production. But I have news. I have two tickets. I'm thinking about buckets are coming. So for $500 a piece, I'll let you have a ticket to A Pirate's Life. My wife may be offended until she realizes I'm raising money for her bucket, and then she'll be fine with it. So if you are interested in that, please see me right after the service. You know, I'm glad we have a place we can come and worship the Lord. And I'm glad that when we come here, I'm thankful for what I feel in this place. Can I say this? We're not saved by feeling, but if you're saved, you'll feel something. If somebody as big as God can move in and it doesn't make a difference, I doubt if he really moved in. And every once in a while, there ought to be something that stirs on the inside of you in witness to what's going on the outside. And I'm thankful for this place that the Lord has given us. If you found your place in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 7, Proverbs chapter number 7, if you'll stand to your feet with me this evening for the reading of our scripture text. This evening, I want to read a fairly lengthy passage of scripture because it deals with one subject, with one matter that I feel like the Lord wants me to preach from this evening. And so I'll ask you to join me. We're going to read in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 down through the end of the chapter, verse 6 through 27. And I want us to read it responsively. I'll read verse number 6 if you'll read verse number 7. Then we'll alternate so on and so forth all the way down through the end of the chapter. And I'll join you on verse number 27. So Proverbs chapter number 7, we'll begin in verse number 6, read through the end of the chapter responsively. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart.
She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house.
Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows.
Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee.
I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt.
I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon.
Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth.
Let not thine heart incline to her ways, go not astray in her paths.
For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, how wonderful it's been to be in the house of God today. From the very early morning hours in the Sunday school class as we felt your presence, and then again in the morning service, and then again this evening, Lord, how good you have been to us. Lord, you have manifested yourself in this place, and for that we are grateful. But could I say that we need it once again, Lord? I need your help. I understand that without you, I can do nothing. We know that as the song says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And so I pray tonight, Lord, that you would come, that you would manifest yourself in our presence. I pray that you would give me clarity of thought and speech as I seek to communicate to these, your people. And Lord, I pray that you might help them to have receptive hearts, attentive ears. And then, Lord, may we say yes as you speak to our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you accomplish. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our text for this hour comes from the writings of the wisest man who ever lived, a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon, the son of David, perhaps one of the greatest kings that Israel ever knew in his prime. He wrote three books that are found on the pages of Scripture. He wrote the book of the Song of Solomon. It's a book of romance. It talks about love and about relationship. He wrote the book of Proverbs, from which we take our text. It's a book of rules, of guidelines, of principles for living. And then he wrote a book of Ecclesiastes. That's really a book of regrets. You see, in Solomon's life, he did not follow his own rules about romance, and it led to regrets. And can I say this? Whenever we live our life outside the boundary of rules, without fail, it always leads to regrets. There is pleasure in sin. The only problem is it's just for a season. And all too soon, the season is past, and then harvest time comes. And in our text, we read about Solomon as he tells us about an observation that he made. He said in verse number 6, "For at the window of my house I looked through the casement." Evidently, Solomon was sitting in his palace and looking out his window, perhaps just watching people as they passed to and fro up and down the streets of Jerusalem. And as he looked out upon those who passed upon the street of life, he noticed a young man. And I notice in verse number 8, the Bible says that he passed through the street near her corner. Can I say that's the way life is? We often come to a corner in our life. A corner is a place of decision. You have to choose which way you're going to turn. Are you going to go to the right or are you going to turn to the left? What's your choice going to be? And everything that follows in your life from that point forward hinges upon what takes place at the corner. And can I say, we come often to the corner in our life and tragically, we make the wrong choice. In the book of Proverbs, the word corner appears four times. Two of them are found in our scripture text that we read. There are two others that are found later on. And tonight, I want to preach for just a little while on this thought, four corners in Proverbs. As we come to our text and we look at the corner that's found in verse number 8, to me, this first corner that's mentioned speaks to us about the entrance of sin. The Bible simply says that he watches this young man and he comes down the street and he passes near her corner. Now, at this point, we don't know who she is. We just know that she's located at a corner. But in verse number 10, we begin to get some information about this one whose corner Solomon is referring to when he talks about there is a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Can I say this? The entrance of sin comes simply when we first of all pass near her corner. You see, that's how our trouble begins, is just going near sin's corners. I noticed several things about this young man. First of all, he's a soul that's undiscerning. Verse number 7, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. You see, this young man, as he goes along the road of life, he does not see the danger which lies ahead at this corner to which he's headed. He does not see the destruction that awaits when he makes the wrong choice at this corner. He doesn't see the disappointment which perhaps is on the street that's out of sight around the corner. He just looks at the corner, and there's something about the corner that offers pleasure and enjoyment and a diversion from the difficulties of life. And so he thinks, I'll just pass near her corner. I'm not actually going to get engaged in what's going on there, but I'm just going to pass close by because it really won't matter if I get close. But you see, he's a soul that's undiscerning, but the problem is he's out in a dangerous time because there's a season that's unadvised. The Bible says in verse number 9 that this takes place in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. The Bible says in John 12:35, Jesus said, he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Verse number 22 tells us in our text that he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth through the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Can I just say to you, if there is a Christian who is older than you, who is walking closer to God than you are, and they try to warn you about some decisions you're about to make, it could be because they're walking in the light and you're walking in the darkness. You just don't see what lies ahead. You don't see the destruction. You don't see the heartache. You're looking at the here and now, and they're looking at the hereafter. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Can I just say this, young people? I'll just throw this in, but it's not a good thing to be out after dark. We'd save ourselves a lot of trouble if we would just learn to find a place of safety and a place of security and go to our home, go be with our family. When the sun begins to go down, there's not much good that happens after dark. And when you play around in the dark, you're going to wind up getting in trouble because you can't see what lies ahead. There's a soul that's undiscerning. There's a season that's unadvised. And there are steps that are unwise. In verse number 8, the Bible says he passes through the street near her corner. You see, here's how it happens. There are steps which lead him close. He's just going near her corner. But the thing of it is, these steps which lead him close are steps which give him confidence. I can come close to sin and yet still have the victory. Look what a strong Christian I am. Look what a great believer I am. It doesn't bother me to get close to sin. It has no power over me. It has no hold upon me. I can pass close by and be unaffected. They make him not only confident, but they make him comfortable. Where once when he passed by sin, he felt at unease and he felt a little nervous and apprehensive, and his natural inclination in that new man was to draw back from it. Now he's passed near the corner and he's kind of gotten confident and he's comfortable in being there. She hears the problem. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon said this in verse 14 and 15, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away." Can I say to you, the greatest example or the greatest type of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the Old Testament among human men is a man by the name of Joseph. And Joseph was a brilliant man because he did not depend upon his own flesh. He did not depend upon his ability to discuss and debate with sin and to argue with it. Joseph said, "The best thing for me to do when sin makes its appearance is run as fast as I can and get away from it." I want to tell you, we'd be a lot better off if we'd learned to flee sin instead of try to stay and debate with it and counsel it and get confident and become comfortable around it. You see, that's the entrance of sin. It starts by us passing near the corner. Oh, I know you're not there. I know you're not engaged in it. But you're getting mighty comfortable around it, aren't you? You say, "But I haven't yet." I know you're very confident that you're going to be able to overcome it. But can I tell you, you're walking in a dangerous place. You're treading a road that's going to lead to destruction. You see, the problem is, spiritually speaking, you're a soul that's undiscerning. You don't see the danger which lies ahead. And here's what you say, "I don't understand. When I go to college or when I go to school and they stand in chapel and they preach against this, I don't see anything wrong with it." There might not be anything wrong with exactly that, but it's very near the corner of destruction. Here's what they're saying, "Stay away from that corner. Don't get close to it. Don't get near it. Because if you never get close to the corner, you're not likely to fall into what happens at the corner." Now notice the entrance of sin, but notice how it progresses. Look at the expansion of sin. Look in verse number 12. "Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner." Did you notice what happened? Now that this foolish man has opened the door by passing near her corner, by becoming confident and becoming comfortable there, now all of a sudden he recognizes and realizes that she's at every corner. It's not just this one corner anymore, but everywhere he turns, there she is. Can I say that's exactly the way sin starts? Sin always starts small. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You see, it's not that a person sets out and says, I've determined in my life, my goal, my ambition is to be a drunkard. They just say one drink won't hurt. I can pass near the corner and it won't bother me. But the problem is, before long, she is at every corner. It's not that they want to become an addict. They just want to try it one time to see what it's like. It's not that you want to become addicted to tobacco. You just want to be cool and to see how it feels one time. It's not that you want to become an adulterer. It's just you're just going to have a little fun, and it's just a little holding of the hands. It's just a little kiss on the cheek, and you pass near the corner and you become comfortable and you become confident, and the next thing you know, you fall and she is at every corner. And now, no matter where you turn, you think, I'll go this place and get away, and there it is. You think, I'll go here and I'll find a place of escape, and there it is. And when you wake up in the morning, it confronts you all through the day. And as you make your way through the day, at every corner, there is that besetting sin that you have opened the door to, that you have invited in, that you've grown comfortable and confident around, and now it's got its talons in you and you can't get free. And everywhere you go, day after day, hour after hour, temptation, temptation, temptation. And it all started when you went near her corner. Sin always starts small, but we see very clearly that sin spreads swiftly. You see, her corner was a deceptive corner, but every corner is a destined corner. I promise you, if you pass near her corner, it's just a matter of time until she is at every corner in your life. David, Saul, and then he took, and then he killed. You see, sin starts so small, it's just a look. In fact, it began before that. When the kings went forth to battle, David just stayed at home. I mean, after all, what's wrong with that? The problem is that made him pass near her corner. And if he hadn't been near her corner, he wouldn't have looked, and he wouldn't have saw, and he wouldn't have taken, and then he wouldn't have killed, and you know, the rest of the story would have never happened. And by the way, if it could happen to David, who is a man after God's own heart, who do we think we are that it won't happen to us? It starts small, it spreads swiftly, and it soundly saturates everywhere you go. At every corner, there she is. There she sits. There she waits. There she calls to you. You wish a thousand times you could go back to that first corner and not pass near it, but that's all history now. What's been done is done. You pass near and you've opened the door, and now she's come in response to your invitation. But notice the story doesn't get better, for the story of sin never gets better. Turn over to chapter number 21. I want to read a verse to you. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, I want you to think about this. First of all, there was her corner. That was the entrance of sin. Then she was at every corner. That's the expansion of sin. And now he's just looking for a corner. See, that tells us about the embrace of sin. This man, now that he's invited her in, tragically he discovers that she is not at all what he thought she was. He wishes that there was a place of escape. He wishes that he could get away. Back in chapter number 7, we see the progress of how it unfolds. First of all, that sin touches in verse number 13. So she caught him. By the way, if you don't want to be caught by sin, stay out of reach. Just don't pass near her corner. Just say, I'm going to set up some boundaries, and right here is the safe boundary. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make another boundary over here, and I'm going to stay extra far away. That way, if I stumble, I don't stumble into sin. I'll just stumble into an area of safety that I've set up. You say, but what will I miss out on? You'll miss out on a lot that you wish you would miss out on once you find out what you've missed out on. You see, the truth of it is, that's how sin does. It reaches out and touches. And if we stay out of reach, if we don't pass near a corner, we're not likely to be caught. But not only does it touch, but it taints. Look in verse number 13 of chapter 7. She caught him and kissed him. You see, now that which is innocent has been defiled. That which was once pure has now been corrupted. This young man who started down his path as an innocent young man, and he thought there's no harm in just passing near her corner, and all of a sudden he realizes she's at every corner, and she reaches out and she touches him, she catches him, and she pulls him into her embrace, and then it touches, it taints, but then it traps. Verse number 21 of chapter 7, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Can I say this? The chains of sin are often too soft to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. And you think it's just a little thing. Oh yes, and you can take a little thread, and if you keep winding it around and around and around and around, eventually you're bound and cannot set yourself free. Oh, what danger we invite when we pass near her corner. You see, it touches, it taints, it traps, but then it torments. For in chapter 21 and verse number 9, he wishes that he could find a corner to get away from her. But there is no place to escape. Oh, do you know what that feeling's like? That there's some sin that the devil has used, that it's lodged its talons in your heart and in your life. No matter where you go, it started off all in innocence, and you didn't really mean for it to go that far, and you didn't mean for it to become what it has become. But because you passed near the corner, you opened up a door that now you wish you had never opened up, and now that sin has made an entrance, and in your life you wish there was just a corner of refuge, a place where you could escape. But night holds no refuge, for when you lay your head upon your pillow and close your eyes, the devil torments you with the memories of what you have done. You wish for the day to come, and you rise from your bed, but as you go through the day, there she is at every corner, reminding you of what a failure you are, and how you have messed up your life, and how what could have been now maybe never will be, all because you passed near her corner. And you wish for a place of refuge. You wish there was somewhere to come. You wish you could be free, but no matter how hard you try, it seems like all of your struggles only destine you to tighten the bonds which hold you in captivity. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It may be some sin that everyone would gasp at. It may be some sin that would be far more common than you would dream. In fact, it may be some sin that you struggle with that most of the world wouldn't even consider it to be a sin. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's some other sin, and we could name 1,000 sins tonight, and every one of us would find one that would speak to our heart and life. You say, but preacher, that's a very hopeless message. Oh, but I told you there's four corners in Proverbs, did I not? Oh yeah, there's her corner, that's a deceptive corner. There's every corner, that's a destined corner. You're going to arrive there if you pass near her corner. There's a corner, that's a desired corner, the one that you cannot find, one that you would like to discover to find refuge. But notice over in chapter number 25, we read of a fourth corner. Chapter 25 of the book of Proverbs in verse number 24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. You say, oh, preacher, you just read that verse. It's quoted before. That's the same as chapter 21 in verse number 9. That's exactly the same thing. It's not exactly the same thing. It's just almost the same thing. Did you notice the difference? Let's go back and read chapter 21. I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn back. Chapter 21 and verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Chapter number 25 and verse number 24. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Here's the big difference. In chapter 21, it's a corner. But in chapter 25, it's the corner. You say, what does that mean? Well, notice Zechariah chapter 10 and verse number 4. Out of him came forth the corner, and out of him the nail. You know who that's speaking of? That's speaking of Christ. Can I say tonight, if you're here and you pass near her corner, and sin has got its clutches into your life and made your life miserable, and every day when you wake up, throughout your day, at every corner, there she waits, and every night when you lay your head upon your pillow, the devil comes and beats you up by your failures and your faults and your frailties, and remind you and you wish there was a place of refuge. I've got news. The answer is not in a corner that you can get to. The answer is in the corner, Jesus Christ. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. I'm glad the Bible tells us in Psalm 68 in verse number 6 that God bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Jesus himself said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free again. I want to tell you tonight, there is hope and there is help. The hope is not in a turning over of a new leaf. The help is not in getting counseling and going through therapy. I want to tell you the answer isn't coming to an old-fashioned altar, falling down on your face and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God, I cannot control this thing. I can't get victory over it. But Lord, I want to yield myself to you. And I believe that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And God will give you victory tonight. The devil will lie and say that you can't overcome it. The devil will try to do everything he can. But I want to remind you that he is the accuser of the brethren. That's his specialty. And by the way, when he comes to accuse us, he doesn't have to make stuff up. There's enough true stuff about us for him to talk about. But I've got one standing at the right hand of God the Father, who when he begins to make his accusations against me, all he does, my advocate just lifts his hands. And when he shows the nail prints in the hands, the almighty judge of the universe strikes the gavel and says, the debt has been paid. The debt has been satisfied. There is now no more sacrifice for sin that is necessary. And I want to say to you tonight, why don't you come to the corner and find refuge? Why don't you come and be set free? You say, how do I do that? Just very simply, first of all, you have to admit your need. That's where we struggle, is it not? It's hard for us. I don't know how it is with ladies because I've never been one. But I can speak for me, and it's hard for us to admit that we've been wrong. That's why we'll drive for 3 hours in a circle trying to find a place without consulting a map or stopping to ask directions. Why? We know we can find it. We know we can get there. You know what? It's difficult for us to have that humility. Say, I was wrong. But can I tell you, until you admit you're wrong, you're never going to get any help. You know what we do so many times? We try to cover up our sin. But can I say this? If we cover up our sin, you know what we force God to do? We force God to uncover it. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But oh, I want to tell you, there's another good verse in the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. You say, well, that's a contradiction in Scripture. Oh, no, the answer is who's doing the covering. If I cover up my sin, God's forced to uncover it and deal with it. But if I come to God and uncover my sin and say, God, here's what I've done. I'm glad he is in the covering business, aren't you? And he takes the blood of the Lamb of God and pours it upon our sin and washes them as white as snow. Can I say tonight, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I wonder tonight, is there some sin that's gotten a hold of your life? Is there something you're struggling with? Maybe no one else even knows. No one else even has an idea. But I tell you, there's one who knows. That's the God of heaven. And he wants to help you have freedom tonight. Come and be set free. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. Heavenly Father, tonight, these, I believe, are some of the best people on planet Earth. But the problem is, being the best people on planet Earth does not mean that we live in a world of sinless perfection. And Satan would desire to attack no one any more than the best people on earth. Lord, tonight I believe that under the sound of my voice are scores of people who struggle every day to gain victory over sin. It's a very common thing. Lord, tonight perhaps they've been searching for a corner. Lord, may you help them to understand that the answer's not in a corner, but it's in the corner. And may they come to Christ and find that help. For those who are here without Christ, may they come and find eternal life that's found in Christ alone. For Christians, may we come. May we do business with you, and may we walk away in victory. Have your will and way in every heart and life. We'll thank you for what you do. For we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.